I love it. Three more preseason week two games under the belt. We got one more tonight and then a bunch over the weekend. That means football's coming, which means DraftKings 1 week fantasy football is coming. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 in prizes that is totally free to enter. That's the key. The best part is you guys know that have played 1 week fantasy football before, you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. Plus, now they have leagues where you can play against people of a similar skill level, beginner, casual contest, or just play among friends. Here's all you need to do. Use promo code Ross Tucker at DraftKings.com now and play in DraftKings' free one-week contest with $100,000 in total prizes. That's promo code Ross Tucker to play free for your share of $100,000 in prizes only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a Finish Strong Friday, getting the breakdown on all of the young quarterbacks from our guy Greg Cosell, the executive producer of the NFL Matchup Show on ESPN, longtime NFL films guru. Spoke with Greg a little bit earlier. He had awesome stuff on the rookie quarterbacks especially, but also the Denver dudes, Tom Savage. Cannot wait for you guys to hear that. I'm beyond excited, just like I'm excited every day to talk about the sponsor confirmation email winner. Not every day, I guess. Every week. It's Joe Belise. Joe Belise, you are the winner this week, Joe. Send me an email with your address. Let me know if you want a picture, card, whatever. Joe used SeatGeek, which is the app that you should absolutely download on your phone. And he entered the promo code Ross to get his $20 off. And he saw Queen with Adam Lambert. I saw it in the email confirmation that he sent me, ross@rostucker.com. So I hope Queen was good, Joe. Dude, I used to listen every day in high school to We Are the Champions, like, because that was like my motivation. We are the champions, no time for losers, because we are the champions of the world. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Let's go. They got nothing for us. Anyway, sorry. I still, that's like a default reaction. Anyway, use the promo code Ross to get $20 off at SeatGeek. Big show time.
The Big Show.
Love this time of year because I love, finally we have some football to watch, some preseason action, and we get a chance to talk with my guy, Greg Cosell, the executive producer of the NFL Matchup Show on ESPN, longtime NFL films guru. And Greg, we talked last week, and we agree that preseason doesn't mean everything, but I also think it's, you know, it's worth noting. It's our first sample size of or any evidence of what these guys can be in the NFL. And I don't know, kind of like I saw from Dak and Goff last year, you'd rather look like Dak did than look like Goff did. So I'm curious to get your thoughts on some of your initial impressions, probably from a lot of the young quarterbacks as much as anything. And I guess
right.
I'll start with both Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans, since that's one of the quarterback battles. I think that they were maybe the first game all the way back a week ago.
Yeah, Savage to me still looked a little too deliberate. I still think that he needs work to sort of speed himself up in all areas, with his drop, his set, what he sees. He just still looks a little too deliberate to me. I'm sure they're working on it, but that's where the game action, Ross, does matter, because it's different than doing it in practice, obviously. So I still think that's an area in which he needs to improve. There are certainly times that he can look very, very good because he's an easy thrower. He has a very good arm. but I think that's an area that he still needs much work.
So for a guy that's now, whatever he is, year three or year four in the NFL, and he was in college for a while because he went to three schools,
yep.
At what point, Greg, do we say he's just a guy and he's not really going to be able to speed up his footwork and everything that he does?
I mean, that's a hard question because theoretically you can always teach someone. It's whether they can then do it. I mean, let's say he were to be the starter, and we don't know how that will play out, but let's say he's named the starter and he plays 4, 5, 6 weeks and there's no change, then you'd have to say that that just might be sort of his natural inclination, that that's the way he plays. You know, I think that when you reach a certain sample size, you tend to say that. Can it be changed over time? Perhaps, but you don't necessarily have that time. You're not, you know, they traded up to draft Deshaun Watson. He's going to get an opportunity.
Let's talk about Deshaun Watson and some of the pros and cons you saw from his first time out.
Yeah, I thought his arm looked a little more lively and looser than it did at Clemson. The ball came out easily. He's not a gun thrower, but I thought the ball came out easily. I'd say, you know, the new phrase now that everybody uses is, you know, the moment wasn't too big, you know, that kind of thing. You know, again, those are just sort of general comments. But I think when I watched every single play, which of course I did, he certainly did look relatively comfortable. Now, all I'm doing, Ross, just so people understand, is just evaluating that performance. You know me well enough to know I'm not making a judgment on Deshaun Watson's career. I would say that he got stuck a number of times in the pocket, not eliminating what wasn't there quickly enough, and therefore he didn't isolate where to go within the structure and timing of the route concept quickly enough. And I think that's a good thing to make that mistake in the preseason because it gives you something to work on. I noticed Bill O'Brien gave Watson some snaps out of empty, and he looked very comfortable working within the timing of the quick game. He certainly made a couple of really good throws where I thought he stepped up comfortably in the pocket. I think overall what you take away from this game is that he has to develop a better feel for the timing of the pass game from the pocket. He did not turn it loose on some throws that were there. That should come with more snaps and experience.
Taking a look at some of the other quarterbacks that were out there, how about Patrick Mahomes from the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, he was asked almost to do nothing. So it's very hard to evaluate him in his three possessions. He still needs a ton of work with his footwork on his drops and sets in the pocket. There was one tremendous example on first and goal in the red zone on his second possession when he was in the shotgun, and he literally took the snap and walked back into the pocket. And, you know, those kinds of sloppy and undisciplined mechanics might work in the Big 12. They're not going to work in the NFL. That needs to be coached out of his system. Because what happened, it was essentially a quick game kind of throw. I think it was slant flat to his left. And all of a sudden, because he walked back, there were bodies right around him on a quick game throw, and that should never happen. So those are things he needs to work on, but they didn't ask him to do much at all. It was really hard to get an evaluation of Pat Mahomes.
What do you mean, Greg, when you say in three series they asked him to do almost nothing? Explain that to the listeners.
Well, just route concepts. Everything was basically one read stuff with the goal to get the ball out of his hands to the primary read immediately, almost like 7-on-7, you know, where he wasn't really asked to read a defense, to go through a progression. It was just, and this is smart, by the way. This is not the Bears, same thing with Trubisky, by the way. I think this is really, really smart. You're trying to get a young quarterback in his first game completions. You're trying to get him to execute so that he's comfortable and he feels like he can go out there and perform. But, I mean, you know, simple stuff like curl flat, that's a route concept, a two-man route concept. That's not really a read. You know, things like that, that's what they asked him to do.
Well, and you mentioned Trubisky. You know, and look, whether it's the moment wasn't too big, I would just say he looked comfortable. And I'm sure you're going to tell me, and you kind of already did, that they didn't ask him to do a lot of difficult things, which I would agree with you, Greg. if that's the case, then that's good coaching.
That's great. I think Darryl Loggins, their OC, did a phenomenal job. I mean, it was play action. It was quick game. It was boot. It was basic concepts with defined reads and throws. I think, you know, it was a very good performance with much to build on. His most impressive trait to me was precise ball placement. He was really accurate, and that's a really good thing. Now, he made his best throw of the game was he stuck a 24-yarder to Thompson on 3rd and 18 early in the fourth quarter. It was sort of a dagger concept where you have an inside vertical and an outside dig, and he threw the dig. It was really good anticipation. He stuck Thompson on the dig in the void in the zone. That was his best throw of the game. He threw the ball very well off boot action with touch and accuracy. I think if he plays early, and my guess is he will, mobility will be a big factor for him. There were two or three times where the primary read was not clear to him, and he broke down way too quickly, and he started to play fast. And that I think that's what a lot of young quarterbacks do, because it's not clear to them. Again, that this is not a knock on his career. This is just what the film showed in his first game. But I thought overall, you know, he executed what he was asked to do at a high level.
Yeah, I guess
now, the
I
guy
didn't
who was
realize...
asked to do the most, Ross, was Kaiser. Kaiser was asked to do the most.
Got it. Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. I guess what I was going to say about Trubisky is I'm not sure I realized he was that athletic, Greg. I mean, he can move.
Yeah, he, you know, his film at North Carolina showed that. You know, he still, if you didn't see every throw, you probably saw some. If you notice, he works hard to throw the ball because he's got that locked front leg. So he, you know, even on that dig to Thompson for 24 yards, you know, he works hard to make intermediate throws, you know, because his body's into it because he locks that front leg. He's not an easy thrower.
What did you see from Glennon? Did you get a chance to watch Glennon before Trubisky?
I didn't watch Glennon, no, because I just watched Trubisky.
All right, that's fine. I know you're focusing on the young guy. Well, you mentioned Kaiser. Tell me what you saw from Kaiser. You said he was asked to do the most.
Yeah, he had five-step, seven-step drop throws, higher degree of difficulty, you know, because those throws require deeper routes and a little more reading. So he was asked to do a little more just mentally. I think he, for the most part, again, acquitted himself really, really well. He's a really talented – like, for instance, I think I watched Kaiser right after Trubisky, and you can just see the difference the way the ball comes out. You know, Kaiser, it just comes out, and whereas Trubisky works hard to throw. I thought that Kaiser had a number of really good individual quarterback plays where he showed pocket movement, where he showed arm strength, where he showed ball placement. I thought his two big throws late in the game – really were impressive. He hit Hall for 22 yards where he had a really nice shoulder roll to move the underneath zone defender. You know, that to me is sort of intuitive. You can coach all that. And I tell you what, if he did that based on coaching, then in that given moment, then he's taking to coaching really well, but he did a really nice job. And then his touchdown late in the fourth quarter was a big time play by Kaiser because it was cover zero where there was no safety in the middle of the field and it was all out blitz. And he increased his tempo, which you have to because you're expecting pressure quick, but his receiver didn't give him an indicator. So he couldn't throw it when he wanted to, so he had to wait a beat to hold the ball, you know, to make the throw, knowing he was going to take a shot, and then he still made a great throw, and he took the shot. So I thought that, you know, Kaiser, to me, had higher degree of difficulty throws and did well.
Is it fair to say, and obviously it's just one game, Greg, but just hearing it in your voice, it sounds like out of all the young guys, you were most impressed by Kaiser.
Well, again, it's the one game. You know, it's just watching all these quarterbacks and what they were asked to do. You know, and you know, this is a philosophical thing with coaching staffs. There's no right or wrong here. I mean, Darryl Loggins, I thought, did a phenomenal job getting Trubisky really comfortable. He had great success executing what he was asked to do. You want that. That gives the kid confidence and something to build on. Hugh Jackson might take the approach that, hey, you know what? I'm going to ask him to do some difficult stuff. Let's start right away. You know, let's not ease him in. Let's see how he handles it, because we've been coaching him since, you know, the first OTAs or rookie minicamp. So let's put him out there and let him run what we're going to run. You know, that's a philosophical thing. You know, maybe if Trubisky was given what Kizer was given, he would have executed well, too. There's no way to know that.
Let's talk, Greg, also about did you get a chance to see the Broncos quarterbacks at all?
I did. I watched both Simeon and Lynch.
What was your takeaways from those two guys?
Those were, again, Simeon, to me, I actually thought Simeon played relatively well last year, Ross, given that he's an executor and a distributor, and he needs a real good O-line, and he needs a run game, and he didn't have either one a year ago. I think he has a good feel for the timing of the short to intermediate pass game, and as I said, he's a distributor of the football. That's what Trevor Siemian is. You know, he's not all of a sudden going to be, you know, a big-time arm talent this year. You know, I think if you have pieces, you know, theoretically, if Trevor Siemian, if they can get a run game and their O-line plays well and their defense continues to play at a high level, you can line up Trevor Siemian every week and he can be a professional NFL quarterback. Lynch still plays a little fast when the drops are deeper and the routes need more time to develop. He tends not to play with what we call a calm helmet. His head moves too much. They really tried to get him comfortable, Ross, and in rhythm with play-action concepts, with quick game, meaning, you know, three-step throws, let the ball come out. I still think he has somewhat of an elongated delivery that needs to be tightened up. You won't change it totally. You know, he's not going to all of a sudden have an Aaron Rodgers compact delivery, but I think you can still tighten it up a little bit. And they gave Lynch very low degree of difficulty throws. They were clearly trying just to get him comfortable, get him completions.
Is there what at what point, Greg, and maybe it's different for different players or different quarterbacks, but at what point should we be concerned about Paxton Lynch's future as a, you know, first round pick starting
right
quarterback in the NFL?
Not yet. I mean, here's a kid who came out of a true spread, a ton of, you know, those tunnel screens and bubble screens in college. Big armed kid, a lot of arm talent, needs a lot of work on his lower body mechanics, tends not to step all the time to where he throws it. Not yet. I mean, that I know people, if he's not the starter, will come out and say he's a bust already. We know how that works, just like most people think Jared Goff is a bust already, which is silly. But no, we're not ready. We're not there, quite there yet with Lynch. I think that my guess is John Elway, who I would assume knows quarterbacks well, understands what Lynch needs to do, and that it's going to be a process with Lynch.
You know, I tweeted this, Greg, and I was half joking, half not, but, you know, last Thursday night, a week ago, Greg, I mean, the quarterbacks that I witnessed that didn't look real good to me were Mike Glennon, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler, and Ryan Mallett, all four of whom are 6 foot 7 inches tall,
right?
And I guess, you know, there are
and there's,
you know,
people who believe that. By the way, it's funny you say that. Yeah. There's a lot of quote unquote quarterback people who believe that height is an issue.
Could you have any idea why that would be the case? Just
well, when
said
you
maybe
start
longer
to get,
levers?
You know, you lose some compactness of movement. You know, guys are not as quick when they're that tall. For the most part, you know, you know, because even when I watch someone like Paxton Lynch, you know, I feel like there's a lot of moving parts. And again, not that everybody has to look like Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers, you know, but there's even bigger guys who are very – Carson Palmer has always been really, really compact. I mean, you talk to a lot of quarterback coaches, and they'll tell you Carson Palmer is the template for the drop, the set, the delivery. You know, and he's 6'5", 235. So, I mean, but sometimes bigger guys, there's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of motion in their delivery, a lot of movement in their delivery.
Did you get a chance to watch Hackenberg, Greg?
I did.
You know what? I mean, you're the guru. I'm not, but I would just say based on all the reports we've heard and read, I guess I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and they did a really good job with him as well. Very few high degree of difficulty throws for him. He was consistently accurate for the most part, which is a big step for him. He's another guy, though, that has a little bit of a long delivery with a lot of arm movement. He's not really compact. Now, that may never change. I think he's got a really strong arm. You didn't see those kinds of throws. They didn't ask him to make those kinds of throws. You know, to get back to sort of the theme of our segment today, it was a lot of quick game with defined one-read throws. But see, to me, that's smart, Ross. You know, here's a kid who you just want to get him completions. You want to get this kid comfortable so he feels like he can go out there and execute the offense.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty accurate and looked like he knew where to go with the ball. And I don't care if it's one read or not. I thought, all right, we can at least build on that and have
no question.
Have some
there was
confidence
something to work
off
with
of that. Yep. Hey, so the last question, Greg, it's interesting because you've talked about certain guys, you like Tom Savage playing too slow and Paxton Lynch playing too fast. So I'm picturing some of the listeners being like, okay, so which – so how do you
that's which one is it?
What do you want to do?
Visually, to explain and describe, but you can see it. Like when you watch Tom Savage drop back, everything looks a beat slow, a little deliberate. Okay, when you watch someone like Paxton Lynch, you can see that he drops back and his head is moving from side to side too much, which tells you that he's not really seeing things. So what happens is his body speeds up because he feels uncomfortable. You know, his body tends to speed up. You know, you hear with athletes a lot, well, things are slowing down for me. You know, with someone like Lynch, you know, when you see a guy play, like Trubisky had a few plays like that too, where you drop back and you can tell he doesn't see it, and then the body says, uh-oh, I better do something else now because I'm just not comfortable, and you can almost see the body speed up its reactions.
I already cannot wait.
Does that make sense to you? By the way, I know sometimes I feel like that's a hard thing to explain, but I can
No. I knew what you meant. I was trying to have you explain it for the listeners. I knew exactly
what
you meant.
No, that's what I mean. Is that clear? You know, because to me, of course, it's always clear to me, you know.
Well, another word for fast would maybe even be like frenetic. You know,
frenetic.
They're just kind of jittery and fast.
Yes.
But then again, you know what? If you and I used to laugh about it, Greg. If anybody else had Peyton Manning's feet in the pocket, they'd say that they're not settled, they're jittery. But because it was Peyton Manning, he was completing every pass. It was
People talk about that early in his career. You remember that? You know, people say, "Boy, he's really jittery in the pocket." Now, again, every quarterback plays differently, and we'll see how things play out. You know, that's some guys. That's just the way they are. But we'll find that out over time.
Cannot wait to hear your thoughts on week two and breaking down the video. Thanks so much, Greg.
All right, Ross. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So I got kind of fired up about Queen and the SeatGeek app and our boy Joe getting really inexpensive tickets to a concert from SeatGeek app. I also get equally fired up now about Lantana hummus. Here's the deal. I know you guys, a lot of you are like me. When you're watching a game, you got to be munching on something, right? And for a lot of you, it's probably like chips or something that's garbage. Don't do that anymore. You don't have to because I'm giving you something that's legit healthy and delicious. I don't care if you put pretzels in it or hummus or whatever. I'm sorry, pretzels or carrots or whatever. Make sure it's Lantana hummus. I know none of you have ever heard the names of hummus companies before. Now you have. It's Lantana. It's by far the best. I've tried the other guys. Not nearly the flavor, not nearly the kick, not nearly the variety. Huge believer in Lantana hummus right now. I will never get another hummus. Never. I'll start tweeting it out as well. I'll tweet you my flavors. Maybe I'll put it on Instagram, at Ross Tucker NFL on Instagram. Here's the deal. When you go to the grocery store, look for the hummus with the striped lids in the deli, or ask, or specifically look for Lantana hummus, or just go to lantanafoods.com, that's L-A-N-T-A-N-A, to find Lantana hummus at a grocery store near you.
Tuck Steaks.
Hey, Ross, three games last night. We need to start with the Jags. Head coach Doug Marrone opening up the quarterback position in Jacksonville after a pretty poor performance by Blake Bortles.
Right. It was not good. I think, you know, I've watched it three times now, Bri, and I don't think it was as bad as people are making it out to be. He had one horrible throw, one not great throw, and one that I even spoke with Ed McCaffrey this morning. He's not exactly sure what the receiver, Allen Robinson, was doing. And frankly, on all three of those throws, I thought Allen Robinson could have helped Bortles out a little bit. He could have come back for the one that was short. I don't know what his route was on the one that bounced at his feet. And on the one that was down the sideline, like, Allen, turn on the jets, bro. Get the separation. Get the ball in the air speed. Anyway, I just think I'm okay if they want to bench Bortles and go with Chad Henne, who's, by the way, is from my hometown. I've known him for a while. I know his dad even longer than that. I'm fine with that. Chad's solid. Chad can do the job. My issue is this. If you are willing, first of all, I didn't think Bortles was that bad. Second of all, if you're willing to move on from Bortles after two preseason games, okay, what the heck were you doing giving him the fifth-year option, which guarantees him $19 million if he's hurt this year, which means you can't even really have him as the backup because you can't afford that he gets an injury and can't pass a physical in March and you're on the hook for $19 million? Heck, if you think about it, okay, I'm going to take you guys inside the game. True player's perspective here. From a Blake Bortles standpoint, based on what happened last night, the best thing that could happen to him financially is if he suffered a bad injury and couldn't pass a physical in March. That's the best thing that could happen to him financially, other than him starting and playing well and all that stuff, which doesn't really seem all that likely. It's just crazy that they would put the fifth-year option on him and not bring in another credible starting potential quarterback and yet be willing to move on from him after two preseason games. It's pretty insane, actually.
Takes. Let's talk about who else is on your stock up, stock down list after last night's games.
Honestly, Bri, pretty much the whole Jags team is stock down. That was brutal. And conversely, pretty much the whole Bucks team is stock up. I mean, especially for the Jags, especially the O-line. That was brutal. Really brutal. And Bortles, of course. For the Bucks, Doug Martin looked good. Doug Martin looked really good. O-line was giving Jameis time. You know, this is the one thing I would caution all of you tuckheads out there to remember. I already told you what matters and what doesn't in preseason. Also remember that if all you ever do is look at the box score, you're doing it wrong. If all you do is look at the box score, you are doing it wrong. I'm telling you. You're doing it wrong because, like, Jameis Winston did not play as well as the box score indicates. I mean, he had a couple of bonehead plays that he needs to get out of his system now so it doesn't prevent the Bucs from doing big things this year. Martin looked awesome. That's about all I had in the Bucs game against the Jags. I watched pretty much every play of the Eagles-Bills, especially in the first half. Stock up, Nathan Peterman. This fifth-round rookie out of Pitt, he looked freaking good, man. He looked good. So did Zay Jones, second-round rookie out of East Carolina, the wide receiver. Those guys were making the magic happen. For the Eagles, defensively, Michael Kendricks, that's about as well as I've seen him play in a while, flying around, getting sacks, getting picks, getting tackles for loss, and Ronald Darby. I mean, his first play was not a great one. Shady McCoy made him whiff, but let's be honest, Shady McCoy does that to a lot of guys if there's open space in the open field, so I'm not getting too caught up in that. I do look, though, at the plays he made in coverage. I mean, maybe just because he's got a beat on Tyrod Taylor or it was his former team or whatever, but he almost had a pick six. And then he did have another interception that he took back a long way, not a touchdown, but got it in the scoring position. He has some sweet feet, man. I hope he realizes that that if he just balls out this year, he'll get a nice contract extension in Philadelphia. I mean, this is his year. Stock down. I did not think Tyrod Taylor played well, but I would also say that the Bills' O-line was stocked down, especially pass blocking. And Tyrod was not as bad as the stats indicate. He wasn't. I mean, Rodney McLeod made a nice play to tip the ball, whatever. And then I think Tyrod thought maybe he had a free play on the downfield throw to Anquan Boldin. And obviously those two guys are still getting on the same page. The only other stock down from that game, Eagles O-line, not real good. I mean, that's two games in a row. I know Jason Peters didn't play. That's two games in a row, though. They didn't look very good. Lane Johnson especially was awful last night. And I know maybe they just moved him to right to left, and he has been practicing at it. But look, dude, welcome to my world. Welcome to the world of they switch you, and you just got to perform. I'd also say stock down on Mallett, although he kind of recovered at the end of the game. I went no stock. I went neutral on guys like Wentz and Cutler. I thought they both were fine. I don't know if I don't know if I saw enough to go stock up though on them.
Tuck's takes.
Other major stories since Wednesday morning, since we last recorded, include Cowboys running back Zeke Elliott filing his appeal, and both the NFL and NFLPA subsequently issuing competing statements.
Well, we knew he'd do an appeal, and you know, I think Florio had talked on Monday about it being important who the arbitrator was. Florio was pushing for someone truly independent. That's not really the case with Harold Henderson. I mean, that's who Goodell appointed, but he worked for the league for 30 years. So I don't know that he's really truly independent, frankly. What's really interesting is some of the stories that have come out. Charles Robinson from Yahoo had some things about Tiffany Thompson, the woman involved, that really painted her in a negative light that came from that 160-page report. And the NFL didn't like it. They issued a statement accusing the NFLPA of leaking those details and victim-shaming. NFLPA got really fired up about it. They issued a competing statement back because they're saying it's a lie. We did not do that. We're not victim-shaming. We did not leak it. So I talked to Charles Robinson yesterday, and he said, you know, there's a bunch of people that have it. Zeke Elliott and his reps have it. The Cowboys have it. So I don't know how the NFL knows it's the NFLPA that leaked it. And then I read another story that detailed the entire police report. It's just, honestly, it's bad for everyone involved. It's ugly for everyone involved. It's not a good deal.
Tuck's takes.
Yeah, another crazy story. It's the Saints. They fired the team's orthopedic surgeons after a misdiagnosis of cornerback Delvin Bro's leg, which will now require surgery.
Evidently, this isn't the only issue they've had. Remember, they signed Jarvis Byrd to that huge contract when his back was already bad. Delvin Bro, I mean, Sean Payton comes out publicly. There's whispers about them trading him, and he's frustrated he's not coming back from this bruise. Meanwhile, the guy's got a fracture in his fibula. And I think Sean Payton realized how bad it made him look to his players and the fans and the media, but especially to his players. He's calling out a guy with a broken leg. So that's why they fired him. I've heard of a team moving on from their team orthopedics in the offseason. I've never heard of them doing it in training camp. I mean, they don't even have team orthopedic surgeons right now. It's kind of, I've never heard of that in my life. Very, very interesting.
Tuck's takes.
Busy couple of days for the Seattle Seahawks. First, they signed cornerback Jermaine Brock, and then they gave center Justin Britt a 3-year, $27 million extension.
Yeah, I mean, Jermaine Brock, I'm a little surprised that he didn't garner more interest from more cornerback needy teams, Dolphins, Eagles, etc. Seahawks scooped him up right away. As for Britt, you know, he's an interesting guy so far because he was okay at tackle on the team that went to the Super Bowl, but then they moved on from him there. Moved him inside. They didn't like him enough at tackle his second year pass blocking. So he went to guard in year two. That didn't exactly go great either. So then they put him at center for year three, and it went pretty darn well. Well enough that now that in training camp and they're seeing him continue, that they're giving him that much money. It's kind of amazing that a guy can be Not good enough at two positions, and then get $9 million a year at another position. So, yeah, Seahawks making moves.
Tux takes.
Speaking of center, bad news for the Colts. Ryan Kelly is going to need surgery on his foot. He'll likely be placed on IR, designated for return by the team.
Right. That's bad, man. I mean, that's bad. You know, they already might not have Luck for the couple weeks. Now they're not going to have Ryan Kelly, their center. O-line's already not a position of strength. It's a bad, bad deal for them. Bad deal. Ouch. Not good, to say the least. I got an email once from somebody that said not to say the least so much or interesting. So those must be my crutches. And I just used a crutch by saying to say the least there. So in the media, you try to not have crutches. So, okay. I'm going to try not to have any more crutches. Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Steaks.
Nice, Bri. Nice.
Other important news items include Raiders cornerback Sean Smith. He's being charged with felony assault. Niners rookie linebacker Reuben Foster injuring his shoulder, as well as comments of note from both John Lynch and Joe Thomas.
Yeah, so I'll add one more to that that just came out like an hour ago, Bri. Derek Rivers, the highest pick for the Patriots this year that didn't make any first or second round picks because of trades. Their pass rusher from Youngstown State, it's being reported he's out for the year, which that's a brutal blow, man. Brutal blow, because that was a position already of concern for the Patriots, and they don't have many. Guy had 41 sacks. 41 in college at Youngstown State. Plus, Ninkovich retired. So that's a problem right now for them at defensive end and specifically pass rusher. In terms of Sean Smith, he might be put on that that leave list, the exempt designated leave or whatever list with this felony assault charge. I've seen the details. It's not good. Reportedly, you know, it stemmed from, you know, him going after his sister's boyfriend, but the details are ugly. I think all of us can probably, that's ever had a sister, can probably relate on some level, but you still can't do it. So we'll see what ends up happening there. He has said he didn't do anything wrong. We'll find out there, but I think that's one of the reasons why the Raiders had kind of benched him. Reuben Foster injured the same shoulder he had surgery on. That's a concern. We'll keep monitoring on that. John Lynch saying, you know, that the national anthem and protesting it, he doesn't want it to be something divisive for his team. That's interesting because, you know, that was a lot of the coaches I played for. The national anthem was really important, and how you presented yourself during the national anthem was really important to them. So I just think that's a little noteworthy there that he said that because, you know, like Mike Mularkey, he wanted everybody as a team to have their feet on the line, you know, on the same line and have their helmet, you know, in their right arm, like to their side. Like that was like a team thing. So it's just an interesting note. And Joe Thomas said he thinks the team is grooming Brock Osweiler, getting him ready to start the opener, which is kind of remarkable when you consider that when they first made that trade for him, for Brock Osweiler, you know, there were reports they're going to release him or they'll try to trade him and maybe get something in return. And I talked to Mary Kay Cabot yesterday. She said that was real. I mean, there were members of the organization that were like, yeah, you know, we're not hanging on to Brock Osweiler. We just did it to get the second round pick. And now it looks like he's going to be the starter, which tells you that things can and often do change in the NFL. Speaking of changing in the NFL, there's going to be a bunch of games this weekend, so there will be some change. We will be talking about it on Monday. Speaking of change for you, do like what I do, okay? I know that we all like to have Chipotle and Chick-fil-A and drink some daddy soda IPAs and ice cream. Look, I'm as guilty as anybody. But you got to pay the piper in a couple different ways. Number one, you have to work out. Number two, if you're going to have some cheat meals, you got to make it up for it with some healthy meals. And that's exactly what Fresh and Lean provides. One of the issues is that a lot of times healthy meals take such a long time to make, you know. That's not the deal with Fresh and Lean. It's a healthy meal delivery service that makes the meals to order from scratch using organic ingredients. Always gluten, soy, and dairy-free. No preservatives, additives, or antibiotics. They put the meals in vacuum-sealed trays, delivered in a refrigerated box anywhere in the U.S. So you're getting healthy meals, veggies, salmon, all-natural poultry, but you don't have to take all the time to prepare it. Really cool concept. I wish I'd come up with that. It's freshandlean.com/TuckerFootball. That's fresh, the letter N, lean.com/TuckerFootball. Promo code TuckerFootball for 15% off meal plans. So pretty cool concept they got there. That'll do it for a Finish Strong Friday edition of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. There will be a bunch to talk about on Monday, certainly. We'll get to some emails, at least one on Monday. I got a pretty good idea for a guest and obviously a bunch of football games. Another edition of Stock Up, Stock Down. For right now, all of your stock is up because you listen to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Check out the Even Money or Fantasy Feast to get you right in terms of betting or fantasy for the season. And college draft, we're getting you ready for the college season, which starts next week. Absolutely incredible. Other than that, I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar. Because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. And here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.